Blog Talk Radio.
What's the deal? What's the deal? What's the deal? Y'all know what it is. This is Care Broadcast Radio Network, and I am the Black Prince of Preachers, Elder Andre Prevost is on the MIC. And guess what, guys? We got a treat for you today. We are going to be joining in with Minister Ray and how you feel about it with their morning, their Saturday morning talk show. Praise God. And we thank God for that on today. They are getting started a little late, unfortunately. You know, everybody can't be on time. Yeah. Y'all know how I go. Everybody, you know, everybody can be on time sometimes. People late. Everybody running late today. Praise God. We thank God. Anyway, praise God. Let's give a hand clap. Hallelujah. Amen. Just for what God is doing in everybody's life on today. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, it is truly a blessing to be on the line. Hallelujah, on today. Like I said, we are waiting on Minister Ray and them to start their line. As soon as they start their line, we are going to connect directly into their line. That's how you feel about it. You know, he bring up some subjects. They might be Christian subjects. They might not be Christian subjects. But when those subjects come up, praise God, amen. When those subjects come up, you know, we want y'all to comment, call in and comment on those subjects. Check this out. This is the number to call. The number to call is 744-220-4000-1201-1069. That's 1201-1069. That is the access code. Or you can call directly in time with station 516-666-9967. We will connect you directly into the line. We encourage you to call in on this morning. This is the number one prayer line in the world, the number one talk show in the world, the number one of everything in the world. Y'all can't stop us. Can't nobody stop us. You know what I'm talking about? God is good, and he's always good. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. Amen. We're getting ready to connect. Hallelujah. Amen. With we're trying to connect in here to the way that we're trying to connect right now with Minister Ray. Yeah, we're getting ready to call in right now. We're going to connect with Minister Ray's line. Amen. Here we go.
Hiccups so little cause so much problems. So I thank God on today. Once again, we bear witness that there's no God but one. He's a true sender, true prophet, a true sender of holy prophets and holy apostles. We thank God there's no one with him and no one besides him, no one better than him and no one equal to him, and definitely no God greater than him. Thank God that his word is infallible, his truth, and we want to bless the name of the Lord today. This is our Saturday morning online talk show, Word of Truth online talk show, how you feel about it. Today's topics, we're going to see how you feel about it. Having children out of wedlock versus having children in marriage while you're married with your wife or your husband. See what the Lord has to say about it. And see, what do we say? What do we think about it? We really don't care what we think about it, but we're going to say anyway what the Lord say about it. Amen. Then our second topic is walking by faith. How do you know you're walking by faith? And how do you know you're walking by faith? If you say you're living by faith, the just shall live by faith. How do you know you're walking by faith and living by faith? So we go dive into that one today. These people is late today. I know Brother Brian is flooded out today. Just gave me a call. Brother Smothers just called me. Let's see what's going on. Oh, there goes someone else. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who's this text? Oh, okay. Oh, that's on the preview. All right. I heard you. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Amen. At all times.
That's right. That's why I keep the Lord in the forefront of everything. The Lord, the Lord. So welcome to Word of Truth, online talk show. Online, how you feel about it, how you feel about it. Today's topic, as I mentioned, we're talking about having children out of wedlock versus having children while you're married. See what the Lord has to say about it. How do you feel about it? So we want to talk about it today. And also our second topic is the just shall live by faith. How do you know you're living by faith? How do you know that you're living by faith, that you're walking by faith? How do you know? What are the evidence that you're living by faith? So we want to dive into that today. See how you feel about it. See how you feel about it. We're going to open up with an opening prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you today, God, as we come before you, God. We bless your holy name this morning as we give you praise, honor, and glory. We can't do nothing without you. We thank you for waking us up this morning, closing our right minds, allowing no hurt, harm, or danger to come to us as we slept in slumber. Father God, we want to bless those that's on the line and bless those that's on their way to the line, that you lead this topic today, that you give us understanding of where we may be blind and deaf ears at. And God, any hearts of stone be made a heart of flesh today that we may receive. It's not a question of who's wrong or right today, Father God. We just want to understand some things to make us better. So open up our understanding today. Open up our blind eyes. Open up our deaf ears today. And God, as we seek your face in all things, Father, and Lord, touch Brother Nick today down there in the dark, Father God, in the storm that passed through overnight. We want to pray for him, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to pray for Brother Smothers today. We want to pray for Elder Prevost. Pray for Paige. Pray for Sister Paige today. Lord, we want to pray for all those that's coming on the line today in Jesus' name as we lift up your name today, Father. Pray for my cousin that lost his son, Father God, to suicide. And God, that you send comfort to that family right now in Jesus' name, to our family right now in Jesus' name. So, God, we just want to thank you. And God, we just want to say thank you for everything that you've done for us. God, you died on the cross and shed the precious blood for the remission of our sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness that we may be redeemed back unto you. And we thank you on today, God, for what you have done from the cross all the way until now. And God, lead and guide us today. Bless every ministry today, God. Lord, that's walking in truth today, Father, in Jesus' name. And we just want to say thank you. And that we love you, Father God, with all our soul, strength, mind, body, health, Father God. We thank you on today. And we give you praise, honor, and the glory, for it is written in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen on today. Well, amen. We're here again. Word of Truth again. Online talk show. How you feel about it this Saturday? This Saturday, what is the date? The 23rd? 23rd of the month. This month is getting out of here quick. So we want to thank God on today. Our topic of discussion is today is having children out of wedlock. That means unmarried. Two people come together and some woman get pregnant. How does the Lord feel about that? And how do we as human beings feel about that? And what is our thought and our take on this subject, having children out of wedlock versus having children out of marriage, in marriage. And so we want to see what the Lord say. You know, there's no wrong or right. We all made this mistake. Some of us have not made this mistake. I must clarify that. The pages didn't make this mistake. But we have made this mistake. I've made this mistake. I speak for myself. And
yes,
so
the pages did. Mac did.
Oh, yeah. Mac did. Oh, Mac made this mistake. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Mac made this mistake. Mac Water made this mistake here. And so
right.
We want to understand. Like I said, there's no wrong, no right. There's nothing to be ashamed about. We all made mistakes. We always, if you're going to be ashamed about it, is be ashamed when you weren't serving God. Be ashamed when you weren't serving God. That's what we ought to be ashamed about when we weren't serving God. And so we weren't ashamed then. Let us not be ashamed now. We learn from our mistakes. And the only way you learn from your mistakes is that we acknowledge our mistakes and see if we can help somebody else in, down the line in their lives. So how you feel about it today, having children out of wedlock versus having children in marriage? So would somebody like to start us off today with that? How you feel about it today?
Well, praise God. The way I feel about it is the way of God is right. You know, you say there's no wrong or right, but I beg to differ. I believe, I trust.
Let me make that correction. Not wrong or right according to the word of God. I said,
okay,
when we're talking about it today, there's nobody wrong or there's nobody right. That's what I meant. Now, but when you say
okay.
The word of God, we is wrong.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm okay. Yeah, well, praise God. You know, that's a fleshly thing we did. And until we come, or when we come into the knowledge of God, we know that this is something we should not have done. I'm guilty of that, of doing that, you know. But God has given us a way, the truth and the light. So he shined the light upon these errors so that we can correct them, so we can stop doing that, and we can tell others, you know, this is not right according to the word of God. If you want to serve God, this is the way you do it, by not having children out of wedlock. We have an example in the Bible where the Israelites had done that, and God told them, send them children away. Didn't say kill them. Didn't say that you couldn't provide for them, you know, but put them out your midst, because it was like a spot, a blemish in your feast, in the sight of God. And so when we come to the knowledge of God, but we're just going to talk about flesh now. The flesh does these things, and the word of God tells you that flesh is enmity to God. Disobedient, and neither can it be obedient to the word of God. So we got to learn to get out of the flesh, to deny the flesh. But yeah, I'm guilty of that. I got three sets of children by three different women, you know. And so I ask God to forgive me for these things. You know, I repent of these things, and I turn away from them, and I ask God to have mercy upon me. As the word of God says, you turn from your unrighteousness to righteousness, you know, and serve in righteousness. Because all those things that we have done, just as the word of God says this, all sins and blasphemies can be forgiven. So you can be forgiven of doing that thing in the flesh, but you got to go to the one who can forgive you of that in spirit and truth, you know, and he's faithful to forgive us, but we have to turn away from that and don't do it anymore, you know, because you can't ask God to forgive you of that and then you continue in it, you know, according to what I understand from the word of God. Not knowing everything perfectly, you know, but as I understand it, I try my best to obey it, and You know, I continue to fall short in some areas, but, you know, I'm striving. And with God's help, we all can get to where he wants us to be. That's my opinion.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank God for that. Admitting your truth. I had four different women and kids out of four different women, me, myself, and I'm asking God to forgive me for that, and I repent of it my own self because to my ignorance, I didn't know, didn't understand, wasn't in the Word of God, didn't know what I know about the Word of God now. And if I can do all, if I can take back some of them seconds to feel good, I would and start to do it right. But I can't. I only could go forward. And being that I'm 51, my cousin, we were talking the other day, and he says, man, I'm about to have a child. Now, we've already talked about it in our life, you know, some point in our life. We ain't going to be 70 years old with a 21-year-old. You know, we joke around and stuff like that. But we ain't have, we, our problem, I mean, the thing was we wouldn't have no more kids. And so, but when he told me that, that was a shock to me. And he said, I said, you mean to tell me your wife pregnant? He just, yeah, she's about to have a baby. And I think they might have already had it right now because I keep calling, he ain't answering. But it was due May 8th. That was the due date. The next month, I said, man, you just now telling me? He said, I wasn't telling nobody because we didn't want nobody to be, you know, be stressing and calling and stuff and stressing her out. This is her first child. It's her first child. And think about it. He said, man, you know, he said, I got two kids, wasn't married. And according to the word, they bastards or they cursed. And I said, well, shoot. You know, I remember reading that. I got seven. So me, my, all my curse, because I had them out of wedlock. According to the word, we had to take, you know, take up, measure up to the word that we had these kids, and they could be cursed because we had them out of wedlock. And so he said, man. He said, now I got an opportunity to make a wrong. Well, I can't take back those two, but I got a chance to do it this time right. And I get to do it this time with a wife, have a child by my wife. I said, hey, that's very important right there. I can see that. I wish I had an opportunity to make a, you know, if I'm going to have another kid, have it with a wife. So I can say I did it right. You know, so like Brothers Mothers was saying, you know, we get a chance, an opportunity to make a wrong right in our lives. I would, if I had that opportunity to make it right, I would. If not, I only could teach my children, and they didn't have children, out of wedlock. Out of wedlock. You know, the... It's not a good look, but I love my grandchildren. But still, it's not a good look. And so like you said, we have to learn, you know, be able to pass the information around to our children that they don't be doing the same thing we did. But some of, in my case, it's too late. You know, it's some of it's too late. But my oldest son, it seems like he's going to have a chance to have it the right way. In marriage, you're going to have a chance to have a child in marriage. And so I was reading the scripture. Before I get to the scripture, does anybody else have anything to comment on? Sister Paige, the general, Brother Prevost?
Yeah. My question, I have a question first, and then I'm going to ask them, well, women have kids I wear like too, so, you know. But I said women have kids out of wedlock too. Women. And they have
babies
get married. But my question was really to the men, I guess. Why do you have so many kids? Well, you two, you as a, and you and brothers, so many kids out of wedlock. I mean, you went to a line that I know about. And you had seven kids. And then he had three different women. What were y'all think process? I mean,
our thought process, we wouldn't think.
I mean, he said, "Oh my God, baby!" But then women were not. Well, women, you had the baby by, but they was kind of. Well, okay, you know, I be thinking about this sometimes. Why do women let men know they have two or three babies by this man and not married to him? And I said, why did they do that? You know. Like this man get him all these kids, and then I married to him. I don't know. I guess I had to ask a woman that question. But anyway, so they were all just thinking when you was when brother said about he had three different baby mamas, you know, and you got four different baby mamas and. I know you probably young. It's probably you were young when you first started getting them, but you know, as you got older, I don't know. I think okay. You know what I'm trying to say? Okay, elementary. Do you have three? You have how many? Did you have about one woman?
Well, the thing about with my kids. I got four mothers, but all my kids is by four different mothers, but the mothers don't have no other kids but my kids.
Okay. I know what I was trying to get was.
Oh, I thought that's what you were asking.
No, they're not what I'm asking. What I was asking was, I guess the question I asked was, how many kids you had about? One. How many you had?
I got two. I got two by my first one. I got two by the next one. I got twins by another one, and I got one.
Okay, because I said no. So that's what I was saying. Women don't we let. Me, we have babies. No, it's my turn. I'm sorry. No,
okay.
We have babies.
Okay.
No, we have babies. Well, the three babies made by one man. And my thing was, I don't know why we do that. But then my other question, my answer was, about being bastards. You know, I think it was what they were saying about instead of being cursed. Well, you know, a lot of times when they do have babies, without a marriage, that child, I think, it suffers more than you have to with the wife because, you know, they be sometimes, like I said, you're not married to the mother, so you're not around them a lot. Because I know they might move away to another city, another state, and you don't see them, you know, a lot. You might not see them every now and then, and then they do be kind of, you know, they don't have the attention and the love from that father, that the one that in the house with the father. So that. I think that is what probably say they are cursed because they're not, you know, they're not there. The father's not in their lives like it's supposed to be. So they're not. And then you have when you're young, you might be 17, 18, you have a child, and then you really don't be in that child life because. Like I said, you just had a baby. You weren't really in want a baby. You just got a baby. So, you know, so that's a big thing right there. So I experienced that. So I know it's true. Okay. That's Somebody else can right way in now.
Okay. You almost answered your, in fact, you halfway answered your own question. But let me say this. The amount of men that have babies out of wedlock is equal to the amount of women that have babies out of wedlock. Even if the woman is, excuse me?
I said, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, because even if the woman is married to another man, having a baby with a different man is still out of wedlock. So mm-hmm. The number is equal. The number is equal. The amount of men and the amount of women is equal because there's no child born without a woman and a man involved.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as far as the curse, it's exactly like you were saying. Because you're not there, that child is cursed because he doesn't have the benefit of being in a family, a two-parent family. And according to scientists and doctors and psychologists, a child fares out better in a two-parent home. And the problem is when you got, and I used to tell guys this after I learned it myself, is to say, man, you out there, you having fun. It seems fun to go with this woman and that woman. I say, yeah, you having fun at the time. But when it hits the fan, when her husband find out, or when she has a baby, you cannot be in three places at one time. Then if you married, that woman don't want you going over by the other kid because they're afraid that the woman is going to steal you back or get you back. On birthdays, you can't be in three places at one time. On holidays, you cannot be there for Christmas with this one and with that one at Christmas. Your time is split up. Even if you go, you spend a half an hour and a half, 2 hours, then you got to dash off, and the child does not get quality time. That is the curse, as far as I understand it, because they're not blessed by being in a two-parent home. I'm concluded.
Well, welcome to How You Feel About It, this Saturday morning online talk show. This is How You Feel About It, and we're talking about the difference between having children in wedlock and having children versus being married, and talk about the curses. And Brother Smothers just gave us a good example about what the curse is, because a kid is cursed when he or she doesn't have both parents, the luxury of both parents. A daughter misses out on how a man's supposed to love her, treat her, respect her, because the father is not in the house at the time. Also, a young man misses out how to be a man because the father's not there, how to do chores and, you know, do the things that boys do and men do. But then he cleaves to that mother, and he develop a lot of mother women, should I say, feminine ways. You know, a lot of guys got a lot of feminine ways because they was raised in a household of sisters and sometimes a household of aunties and grandmamas, and he developed a lot of ways. So those would be curses. And God said in the book that a feminineness won't enter the kingdom of heaven. That means he ain't got to be gay, but he got feminine ways. That's a curse, because he didn't have the luxury of his father being there to see kids' first teacher is their mother and father. So if you have mother and father interact, loving each other in the home and respecting each other, then that trickles down to the children, the siblings. And like when I was out there in Texas, I've never heard so many yes sirs in my life. Yes, sir. No, sir. This, that, sir. And even when you went to the restaurant, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have that. Yes, sir. You never hear this out here. You don't hear this out here. okay, all you hear is, okay, we got that. We can do that, you know, when they take your order. That's what you hear. But out there you hear, yes, sir. We're at the Page's house from the littlest, the whippersnapper all the way up, grandkids. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The grown kids, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. All you hear. It wasn't an act that they putting on in front of nobody, because ones that come in late, oh, yes, sir. Ones that come in late, yes, sir. So the kids miss out on that kind of behavior, that kind of raising, when you don't have two parents in the house. Like Brother's mother said, you can't be everywhere at the same time. You try to be over here, spend time with this kid. The mother of the other kid get wind that you spend time with this kid. Now that's a problem for you. Well, I live this problem, so I can talk about it. See, I can't be everywhere at the same time. I got twins in Sacramento, 70 miles away. I got two women pregnant at the same time, produced three kids. Two women pregnant at the same time produced three kids, two twins, boys, and my other son. I just made 27 a few days ago. And so you can't do all these things. You can't. I took a picture with my son and had it in my wallet. We had took some pictures, you know, with my son. And next thing I know, like mother said, you got problems with that, because I come back, she just tore the picture of the mother head off the picture. So what good is the picture? What you do ignorant stuff like that for? You know, I'm the father. I'm the father of this kid, just like I'm the father of your kid. I got to do for this kid, you know, just like I got to do for this one. So we have all these type of things, and that is a curse. The kid becomes cursed, and because it's denied a lot of things from both parents. But it's hard on a father to raise a daughter when the mother's not around. And we can't teach the daughter what the mother can do. We don't know nothing about no ministration or nothing. That's I can't. Thank God I ain't got no daughters, because I can't do that. I don't know what to do. I would have to call you. That's when the grandmothers come in. That's when the aunties come in.
You learn.
I would not learn about no ministration. Nothing.
You would have to learn. Most times too, then that curse is trickled down to generations, you know, because your kids, they say your children, other people's children, since they ain't in the conversation, but then they have children that have out of wedlock, you know, then their children have children out of wedlock. So there's this. I guess they use curse that spirit and throw it, you know, and then pray to God that it get better, because kids, our kids, they have kids. I would not, you know, it's just a thing that go on until you curse that spirit, because it's a spirit and it needs to be cursed. So I guess it's up to the old generation, like us, because that fear come out of children.
Yeah, you gotta. That's right, Sister Paige. You gotta break that spirit.
Yeah.
You got to break it. Oh, so we talk about how you feel about it. Our online talk show, Brother Prevost, what you got to say about this? You want to weigh in?
Hey man. I got. I got four kids. They all by one woman, my ex-wife. But
three of those kids.
You did it. You did it the right way. You did it the right way.
Nah, three of those kids was at our wedding.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Three out of wedlock.
Yeah, the boy was the green bear, and two girls were the flower girl. So, and I like when people say that they say you kind of did it the right way, because she was the first woman.
Yeah, you sort of kinda.
Yeah, she was the first woman I had sex with, so I was a virgin when I got with her. I ended up marrying her. I had all my kids by her. But like I said, like Sister Paige asked the question, why we have kids by so many, why the woman let us have kids by them, and then it's why we keep getting them pregnant. It's like, I don't say, I just say from my experience, it's like, I don't know, we want to break up with the woman, but it's guaranteed sex, so we want to wait till we can get some more guaranteed sex before we break up with them.
Okay, he's being honest.
And then you talking about the guys.
How you feel about it? Tell the truth.
Because I know a guy, he said, I got 20 kids all across the country. And we talk about how it's just, because we don't know how it feels. I talk about this on my line. I don't know how it feels to a woman. We don't know how sex feels to a woman, but to y'all, it feels some kind of way like the whole time. It's the big moments y'all have, the orgasm moments and the climax moments, but the whole time, y'all feeling something the whole time. We feel something in 5, 6, 7 seconds. So we like
2 minutes.
We trying to go after these 5, 6, 7 seconds. We trying to get them 7 seconds, and it's hard to get them 7 seconds. And then people be like, I've heard people in the world say stuff like, well, why don't guys? Well, I may not have done it, but I know. Don't get me wrong. That's why I always tell people like, well, Elder, you a preacher, all your kids are one woman, you married to one woman. Don't act like I don't know, like I don't have these thoughts that go through my head. Like, I know what the deal is, I just don't do it. but that don't mean I ain't thought about doing it, or I ain't want to do it, or I did it, and didn't nothing happen as a result of me doing it. Like cheating, like I cheated on my first wife, but ain't nobody get pregnant. Because, and like people ask that question, well, why don't men wear protection? Because we feel better without protection. That's why we don't wear protection. Well, why don't y'all, you know, stop before y'all do what y'all do? Because it feels good. We don't want to stop. That's why all these babies.
That doesn't really work all the time anyway. It doesn't really work.
And that's why all these babies come by. Because it feels good. Y'all don't understand. Y'all get to. Even when y'all say the sex was bad, y'all still felt rough. When we gotta wait them whole 7 seconds. We wait them 7 seconds. We wait for the 7 seconds to hit.
Where's back page?
Sleep. He's sleep.
Oh, sleep. Okay, let's sleep. Yeah, that's what you want. This is how you feel about it. How you feel about it? Online talk show, Word of Truth online talk show. How you feel about it? We just heard from Andre Prevost, his take on it. He had 4 kids while he was married to his ex-wife, but he sort of kind of did it right. But no matter what, a shootout could be going on, other could be sticking the key in the door. If we in the act, we going to get them 7 seconds. Long as we got that seven seconds.
Come back here. That dog ain't going to do you nothing. Come on back. I'm sorry.
We'll deal with any other consequences that come along. So, and that's a lot of kids been made for the second time, like you get a kid the first time. A lot of kids, because we was uneducated, didn't pay attention to that sex education when they had in school. But when a woman have a baby, then, you know, she had a baby, then she heal up, and, you know, in a couple months, whatever it takes to heal up, then we go right back in there, go right back unto her, like the word of God said. We go unto her again, and she is more vulnerable then than she was the first time. And so you ain't even got to get to the second, the 7 seconds Freebo was talking about. You'd be pregnant again. You could be pregnant right back. So now you got multiple kids, and people don't understand this kind of cycle right here because they uneducated. You keep going into this woman without no protection. She wide open. She ain't on no protection. She just had a baby, and you go right back into her, hoping for different results, but you come out with the same results. Now you got multiple kids. Multiple kids. And it's the same thing when we go with other women, like Prevost was saying. Other women, we just, oh, man, Gino preached real hard about this all the time, dropping seed everywhere. I didn't understand that till I got saved about dropping seed. What is seed? What you mean dropping seed? I ain't dropping no seeds. But we dropping seeds. We just like a bag of seed. We just everywhere we go, we leave in our seed. We leave it our seed, and just like Elder Primo say, why we didn't use no, why you didn't use no protection? Protection for what? You see, and I've been fortunate in my life to have a lot of virgins. I've been fortunate that way to have a lot of virgins. I've been the first one, and like you said, like Primo said, we go. Convenient sex, you know, we go wear it out till the wheels fall off. But look at the consequences that we pay for it, though. Look at the results that we pay for it, and that's why we have this discussion today. And as we had this discussion, more understanding and revelation even coming over to me of the stupidity and mistakes that I made for only to have 7 seconds to feel good. Cost you a world of trouble for 7 seconds to feel good. And you could be in trouble. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to speak on what Prevost was saying. Well, I'm so glad that he was speaking about how he feel and about himself. Now, you may find this to be a joke, but he say 7 seconds. Well, with me, I used to do it all night long. Let me show you how this goes. Now, this is a joke in the future that we see. Listen to this.
Lionel Richie on the line.
Listen to this. When I was young, I used to do it all night long. Now that I got old, takes me all night long to do it. Okay? But and concerning
help him, Lord,
the
field, help him, Lord, help him, Lord, help him, help him. That's a good one, though. That's a good one, bro. That's a real good one too.
Yeah.
Now,
but you know what it was, but his mother. No matter if it took us all night long, you know, we want to do it all night long, it still boils down to 7 seconds, 15 seconds to feel good.
Okay.
Still all boils down to that ooh, ah, ugh. That's it.
Okay. Now let me go here. The question is why women let men give them children like that? Believe it. It feels good to women, too. You know you know? You know how you know? When
you don't
feel like doing it, but they steady trying to get you to do it. When you come home from work and you tired, you know, you have a mind to do it, but your body won't arrest. You know?
Okay.
Now, whether anybody agrees with that or not, this I know because I done had them call me. You know? Knowing that I'm married. You know, but this is just the truth. There's nothing for me to brag about because this ain't a thing to brag about, especially when you're not doing it.
No, we just having fun. We just having fun. We know he's right.
Yes, yes, but we're supposed to speak truth at all times. And so
right. Yeah.
the truth of the matter is that women have, I'm going to just go here, with the scientists or doctors say a G-spot or whatever. You having sex with a woman, and if she don't feel good and you get up off that woman, she gonna find somebody else that's gonna make her feel good for doing it. When they doing it, she ain't satisfied. She disappointed. She get the idea of the thought that
you
ain't gonna do it right.
We had to talk about that, really.
She gonna find somebody
who
can do it right.
It's just a continuous thing, and so that's why I go back
flesh.
To what Mr. Page was saying is
that's
that you know they that's flesh, and they go continue to find just like we do it with men, we go keep going to other women till we get that one satisfactor that we've been looking for. Same thing with women, we understand, and that's why a lot of kids are being born out of wedlock, looking for that. It's like that drug, that person that used cocaine for the first time, looking for that hit that you ain't gonna never find no more.
That's
yeah.
right.
You're never gonna get that no
yeah.
more. I'm gonna bring a scripture into here. 12 Hebrews 12:12-6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chases. And scorn every son whom he receiveth. Then it says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what sons is he whom he the father chasteneth not? So what son are you and God not chastening you? But if ye be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. How do we apply that scripture to this conversation?
Well, you apply it just the way the Word of God says. If you love him, you're going to correct him so that he don't go the wrong way. You know, you want the best for him. So when he needs correction, you're going to correct him. If you love him, that's what the Word of God says, those I love, I chasten. And so we just, according to the Word of God, which we all believe, which we all trying to obey and follow, even Jesus said this, say, he that loveth me obeys my commands. And so Jesus is the example that God has set for us. And so we try and follow or copy to be like that. To be godly is to chasten those you love. Correct them. I ain't going to let him keep running his head into a wall. I'm going to correct him. Stop doing that, son. You know, don't do that. This is the way to handle that. That's because
Amen.
I love him.
Amen. What about what Prevost, I mean, Sister Paige, you finna say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how that scripture pertains into his that I guess that you get. You're not there really to chastise. I'm sorry. I'm kind of thinking about what I'm kind of saying. I say, I don't think that scripture really pertaining to, I don't think it pertains to a person that is a saved person. Because you don't know nothing about that scripture until you come a Christian or a saint. So that, to me, it doesn't mean it's not pertaining to an unsaved person. It contains to a saved person.
Then you
can hold it in your mind until I come back to you. Okay, then the other thing I was going to say about having kids, you were saying about a woman that you have multiple kids about them. Then I thought about that. Then maybe because she tried to hold on to that man, but she figured if she had kids about him, then he might visit, marry her, or he would continue to stay with her. So that's why she continued to have. Then it came to my head when I think you were talking, Ella Prevost, about that. Being a woman, you do a lot of things to try to keep a man. So you think, well, if I keep having these babies by him, then maybe he'll stay or he'll marry me. Eventually he'll marry me,
Yeah, that used to work.
He stays here. Yeah, so that, but it's in her mindset, women, we have these crazy mindsets who, okay, if I have all these kids about, keep having kids about him, then eventually he'll marry me,
Yeah.
But most times back in the old time, they would make you marry that woman if you have a baby by them.
Yeah.
They would make you marry that woman. Their parents would make you marry them. But like you said, the parents don't even talk to the guy about you having, getting my daughter pregnant. You just get them pregnant and so it's a different scene now, but yeah. So anyways, that's what I wanted to say for my mind. Sometimes it goes, I forget what I'm going to say, so that's why I say what I'm going to say, but I forget it about the woman.
But that was
you keep
point.
Having
that
babies.
Was a good point, Negro. That was a good point. That was a very good point, how you feel about it. That's another vantage point of how you felt about it. Thank God we welcome Sister Valerie to the conversation today. Ella Prevost, you had something to say before we move on?
I was going to say what Sister Paige just said. A lot of women be trying to trap the man, thinking that the man going to marry him like back in the day, like the shotgun weddings, but ain't enough daddies around right now for no shotgun weddings. There ain't no daddies in the house to make the shotgun wedding go down, and the man don't marry the woman. And the thing that the woman don't know, we already know. I'm going to speak for myself. I already know when I meet a woman whether or not I'm going to be with her for a long time. But that does not affect whether or not I'm going to sleep with her.
I know exactly what you mean, exactly.
Okay, say that again.
You could be fine. Like a person like Nicki Minaj. I don't know if y'all know who Nicki Minaj is, but Nicki Minaj is a rapper, and she's fine. But her voice.
Now I know who she
her
is.
Her voice is annoying. I can't stand her voice. So I know if I was single that I would not marry her because I don't want to hear her voice for the rest of my life. But
no longer.
But she got money and she's fine. So I think I was around some women when I grew up, and I know how women are. Women will go on dates with you and eat your food and go to the movies with you and don't have no intention of having sex with you. So
amen.
That's what she said. Amen. Lord, have mercy.
I'm just saying, right,
When I was in the world dating, I had this same mindset. You gonna try to get me? I'm saying you only date me because you think I got some money. So I'm gonna go and get what I want from you. You gonna get what you want from me, and we gonna part ways eventually. That's how I used to look at it.
Amen. This is how you feel about it. People say, this is how you feel about it. People expressing how they feel about it. We talking about kids versus wedlock and versus marriage, the curses. Brother Smothers brought the element of the curses in there and what some of the curses could be. And they are legitimate ones, too, though, because kids be cursed with those things, not having two parents in the house. And you have a, get it, if you had a chance to do it right, you know, if you not pass your childbearing years, would you have a chance to have children the right way, husband and wife? And so we have all that to consider and to teach our coming up children not to do these things that we, not to do the mistakes that we made. And like Prevost is saying, we as men, this is how we think. We think crazy. And we think a lot of stuff that we don't have to think, shouldn't think. But that's the mindset of when we ain't in the mindset of God. And so as a result, consequences, and we make mistakes. I'm going to bring one more scripture in, Deuteronomy 23:2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. I'm going to have to research that one again. I'm going to have to look at this one again. A bastard. It's a lot of bastard sounds. I'm going to have to look at that one again because I just read it off the surface. I've been reading it for a minute. I just wanted to bring it in, see what somebody else had to say about it, how you feel about it. But if not, we can move on. We don't have to dive into that one there at all.
Yeah.
That's what we should just overlook in general.
You need to study this right some more.
Yeah. I got to look at that one a little bit more right there.
Yeah,
a little more. Amen. But all right, well, we express how we feel about it. The first topic, Valerie, did you want to weigh in on it? Kids and wedlock. Wedlock, you see, like you did all yours the right way. So what do you have to say about it? You have anything to say about it before we move on?
All right.
Praise the Lord. We're going to move on to our next topic. Our next topic will be faith. How do you know you're walking by faith? No, how do you know you're in the faith, and how do you know you're walking by faith?
Can I read that right, which way I had it? Because I know you were going to say it right.
You just read it.
I knew that he's not going to say it right. The question was, how do we know we walk in or by faith, and are we really walking in or by faith? And if we are, where is the evidence? That's a long question, so I can repeat again.
It hits a lot of things. Just say the first part.
What is faith?
What is faith to you? Let's tackle that part. What is faith? Do you know what faith is? So we want to see how you feel about it. What is faith? And what is faith to you? Anybody want to tackle what is faith? Well, I'll start it off. Faith is something that is hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah.
If the evidence is, in other words, you're hoping for something that you go have, you want God to bless you, faith is also the expectation of God coming back. You don't see God. How do you know that there is a God? And how do you know truly outside this book what God's saying?
That this
God will come back.
We're in the second one now.
And so
that's our
that was Pastor Paige.
Mm-hmm.
He done woke up. Tell him it's a fine time for him to be stretching now. It's a good time. But yeah, faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. That's what it says, not seen. And what that connects to, you haven't seen a God, because he says in the book of Peter that you have not seen me, but yet you say you love me. You have these whom you still have not seen, but you say you believe in. So faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. He said, believe in it. He said, also, when you pray, believe that you have the things that you pray for. So what is faith to you? We take that first part. Anyone going to weigh in on the faith?
No, like you said, what the scriptures say, you know, everything. But just because the scriptures say something doesn't mean that believe it. Because,
it don't mean that you practice it.
Yeah. No, what the Bible says faith is, but it still doesn't mean that. I know the Bible say that what faith is. So Marie was saying, but you know this, but then so I guess about mine would be the second one. Then I guess still the first stop. My question, mine is more like a second question. You know,
what's the second one?
How do we? Nope, it won't be that either. How do we walk in faith or by faith? And isn't that it won't be that either though. I guess mine would say, we really know we walking in faith. That's what mine would be, I guess. How do we know we walking in faith? But we'll get to that later. So somebody go ahead and do the first word to them, I guess, for this faith. So.
Well, to me, having faith is just like what Ray said. That's what faith is, believing in something that you don't see. For example, everybody has faith, but it depends on which direction your faith is going, so to speak. Like, you can have faith that everything gonna be good tomorrow. I'm gonna wake up tomorrow, I'm gonna be alive, everything gonna be good, I ain't gonna have no problems, tomorrow gonna be a great day. Or you can have faith that tomorrow gonna suck. I'm gonna wake up tomorrow, I'm gonna be in a bad mood, everybody gonna call and get on my nerves, da 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 da. So it's like, that's why I say faith come by hearing, and then there's a comma, and then it say hearing by the word of God. So it's telling you that faith comes by hearing. So you hear, what you hear determines what you believe in. But then he tells you, you got to hear the word of God. He tells you specific, because you can have faith that all men are dogs, because that's what they say at the beauty shop. All men are dogs. So you ain't going to never meet a good man, because all of us are dogs, because that's what you got faith in. But if you got faith in the word of God, that eventually there's a good man out there for you, that God has somebody telling that for you, then that's the way your faith goes. So it's all about what you believe. If you don't believe it, then you ain't got no faith, in my personal opinion.
This is how you feel about it. Faith is evidence of things, like I said, not believing in. So what you believe in, like we all saying, what you believe that's going to come to pass, You have to see. That's why it says now faith. Now faith is the substance. You got to believe now because God is the right now God. You don't believe down the line. You believe now for it if you have it. That's why he said now faith. Now faith. If we got to have now faith. You need a now healing. You need somebody to be healed now from the coronavirus. You need some. You believe in now that somebody gonna have a house that need a house. You believe in now for that job. You got to operate what it says. So when you pray, it's already done. Now it's the thing of waiting for it. And this is what people faith get weird get destroyed because of the wait. We don't know how long to wait. And you believe it. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't know how long Jesus is going to come neither, but you say you believe he's coming. So we have to equate what we believe in and standing for on the same level as waiting for Jesus Christ to come, and we don't know when he's coming, but we just believe and say that he is coming. You see, that's
okay, I got a question, but I can say, okay, like, you might get sick. And you said, well, I got faith God's going to heal me. You know, and really, you just saying that because you know that what you supposed to say. Okay, I know God's going to heal me. But really, deep down in your mind and back of your head, you really not believing that. You just saying that because you know God's supposed to heal you. But really, deep down, you said, you're not really truly believing.
That's a good one, Sister Paige, because I just did the same thing. But the difference is, you like some people say that, like you're saying, but they really don't believe that. No. When I said it, I believe it because I would never go to the doctor if I didn't believe in God. And because I don't go to the doctor because I didn't want to hear this corona stuff. You wouldn't go do no corona stuff on me. You wouldn't go give me no shot. You wouldn't go do none of that. You know, God kept all that away from me because of what? My faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, mm-hmm. And so you notice I've been on this line without no hiccups.
Yeah, I didn't notice that, but you're right.
And then I read something Sister Valerie sent me. And I had said that same thing, so that was a confirm. She sent me a text saying that, have I considered that this is the attack of the enemy? I did consider that.
Mm-hmm.
That very thing, I said, this ain't nothing but the attack of the enemy, and you won't defeat me. Straight up. See, I had the faith. You're not going to defeat me. You're not going to stop me from preaching. You with the hiccups, I'll preach right through them. And so I had that faith that you just spoke of. You know, like some people just say it. But when you just believe it inside of you, it's a difference. It's a difference because I sat there, and even the doctors yesterday just, you be so nice and calm, Mr. Thurman. I'm a man of God. I ain't worried about nothing. That's what I replied. You be so nice and calm.
You are really walking. That's the next part. You are really walking. You are really walking in faith. No. But there.
And that's right. That's what I was going to get to the next part of your topic.
Mm-hmm.
That's what walking in faith is.
Yes.
I walk in the spirit of faith. This is why my troubles be so testing and what I go through because constantly my faith is on the line all the time, constantly. And I had to recognize this, man, my faith is always on the line. No matter what comes up, my faith is constantly being tested. But I still got to stand because it's my faith, how it is, it lifts up other people's. And so if I let them down, if I let myself down, then I'm going to let a lot of people down with because they rely on the enthusiasm the confidence that I have in the Word of God help other people. I didn't know that at first. But the book says, your faith will make somebody else whole. He demonstrated that in the book of Luke 5. When the four buddies lowered down their buddy through the roof on the couch, what did God tell them? Go thy way. Your faith have made him whole.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we continue to walk in the faith right there. What was the other part? Don't you got another part of that?
Yeah, and if we are, what's the evidence? Where is the evidence?
I'm here right now on the phone with no hiccups. That's the evidence.
Yep. That's Well, you got all of it, huh? You had the whole thing. You got the whole thing together this morning. Where's faith? Talk about faith. Evidence. You got it all, Mr. Ray.
Thank you. Thank God for developing my faith, because he said the just shall live by faith. We got to live.
Yeah.
We got to know what living by faith is. You see? And the faith is living by the Word of God. And all the things that come to test your faith, especially today in the pandemic. You know, the pandemic, the COVID-19 wasn't even mentioned. Wasn't even a thought. Didn't even mention to me. Because I knew I had the faith that I didn't have it, and it wasn't going to come nigh to me anyway. That was my confidence. So, anybody else? Sister Valerie, you got something to say about it? Some others have popped off. Did Pastor Page come in?
No, he's still laying there. He now.
All right, well, let him rest. Well, all right then. Well, nobody else got anything to weigh in on the faith topic. We can kind of wrap this up today. I think we had a good discussion today on the marriage thing, the wedlock thing. You know, we got some things answered, and it helped me with some insight and stuff too. So I thank God for that. You know, how we be thinking. That was some good stuff Smothers came with. That was some good stuff Prevost came with, how we be thinking. And it all deals with our thinking too, because we don't be thinking with the head, with the brain in it. We don't be thinking with that one. Because if we did, we wouldn't have...
The little head still the big head.
That little head.
They take the little head and the big head.
That little head can control that big head.
Oh, yeah. It's the other way around. Anyway.
The big head.
The little head can't see what the big head sees.
The big head see instead of the little head. Hey, I think we see something
over
there. And the little head like, show me. I don't know. I can't see. Show me. Okay, I'm
going to
show you in a little bit.
Okay. Okay, now, thank you for the men, but I think I gave some good stuff, y'all. We both said mothers. Well, I was in a conversation too, you know.
You be surprised because you do come out with some good stuff though. You know, to be the warden, the general come out with some stuff. That was some good stuff. Very good. Thank God we have a spirited discussion and come out with understanding and revelation. I really took some stuff away from it today because help you understand some things about yourself. And everybody had a input in it today. That was good. Smothers really had a good input. Prevost came with the other side. He came with the ghetto side of how he was thinking. That was the ghetto side. I didn't want to go down that right with me, you know. But that's good though, because that is how we be doing though. And it caused us to have all these kids doing all the stuff that we ain't supposed to be doing. But thank God. And we gonna pray out today. General, you wanna pray us out of here?
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this blessed day. Father God, we just thank you for doing miracles in our lives. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for online today and for all the knowledge that we gained from online discussion. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and all the topics that you give us, that we come away with knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And we thank you for each and every one that are online today and everyone input. And Lord, as we go out to this day, continue to bless us, continue to protect us and lead us and guide us into all truth. And we give you praise, glory, honor, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Each and every one of y'all today, I appreciate all the prevos coming on. And thank God for brothers from others. Just thank God for each and every one, Sister Valerie. And we want to just give God the praise today. We'll be back on the next week, set of different topics. But until then, we'll be on tomorrow with Pastor Page. And we'll be on tomorrow evening with Prevost at 5 o'clock, I believe. Is it 5 or 3 o'clock my time? 5 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Your time. So we see till then, y'all go with God, let God go with you. And see you tomorrow evening. Beware of your surroundings. Love you with the love of Christ. Mean what I say what I mean, straight up. Amen. We are dismissed from today.
Amen.
Y'all have a wonderful day and time.
You too.
You are the last party in the conference.